This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Let's move to this unfavorability because it's such a big topic because they both have such high ratings. Our poll showed that Clinton's favorability rating is at an all-time low among registered voters, now on par with Donald Trump at 59 and 60% respectively. You heard Tim Kaine. Is the campaign doing enough to try to solve that problem?
Well, they think what they're doing now is not adding to the problem. And I speak with people who are inside her circle, and one of the reasons why they don't like her in large groups or to do press conferences is because she doesn't play well there. She's not comfortable in that position. That's only going to make her look more staged, more strategic, and less authentic. And so it's a purposeful strategy why she's not doing press conferences, because that will only add to her unfavorabilities. Look, the email thing is just, in my opinion, is terrible, especially when you start looking at the rationale. You know, Matthew and I were joking. She thought the C was to help her put things in alphabetical order, but there's no A, there's no B, and there's no D. So it only makes you look
silly. And she's been at this for decades and decades as a senator on the Armed Services Committee and other things.
But she has judged a little bit, I have to say, with all of the controversy surrounding her, and they're both Donald Trump and her. She has judged a little bit on a Ginger Rogers standard, which is that the bar is so low for him. I mean, Ginger Rogers, the famous, like, she did everything Fred Astaire did, but backwards and in heels. The bar is so low for Donald Trump that we let it pass that his foundation mistakenly or did whatever, a contribution to the Attorney General of Florida, that actually in the end she dropped a suit against him on his university. Both of them have problems. Here's, Martha, I want to make one point in this. Do they each need to solve their likability problems and their trust problems in this election? Yes, but more importantly, I think they need to solve them. If Hillary Clinton gets elected in this election with a majority of the country not trusting her and not liking her, it's going to be very difficult for her to govern as president of the United States.
Either one of
I'll tell you, the way they argue this, I mean, think about what they're arguing here. And, of course, this is Stephanopoulos' program. You've got Martha Raddatz, Matthew Dodd, and LZ Granderson. And Scott, you know, I like what LZ picked up on, and that is what you and I were talking about, is that, you know, she thought there was some sort of alphabetical association there with the C being there. But, you know, like you and I asked, we said, well, where's the A and the B? He took it to D as well. But, you know, it's really difficult to support her on this. But the mainstream media has done everything they can. They have engineered this controversy about Trump in order to try to level the playing field, put their thumb in, and, you know, try to equate what Hillary Clinton has lied about versus Donald Trump and what's still being worked out. I mean, this is the same kind of stuff that Harry Reid talked about from the well of the Senate in putting into question Mitt Romney's financials and his income. And then later on, he laughs about it and goes, well, he didn't get elected anyway. I mean, this is, I guess, all fair and love and politics, I guess. And it doesn't matter about the truth. It just, hey, look, I know we've got a bad candidate here, but we can make the other candidate look bad. Then it kind of evens itself out. I mean, this is what's being done. I mean, they're trying to equate Donald Trump, even the worst of what Donald Trump may have done, which has not been proven, but yet they recklessly suggest, but God forbid there be anything, you know, looked at with Hillary Clinton, because they say, well, there's really, you know, no smoking gun. But Charles Krauthammer says, he goes, it's not a matter of smoking gun. There's smoking cannons all over the place. And, oh, yeah, by the way, was Donald Trump involved with anything that comes close to four Americans dying? And Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are all over this, ladies and gentlemen. And then here it is, we just had a conversation with the president of Mexico, and he's saying, look, I don't need your dirty money, I don't need your dirty guns. Who sent dirty guns into Mexico? Oh, that would be Barack Obama, and the Attorney General, Eric Holder. with Fast and Furious, lest we forget. I mean, this is most amazing, but ladies and gentlemen, if we're not going to pursue the truth, then we're going to be wide open to the big lies, and they keep on coming.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Our next guest has really, you know, lit things up quite a bit because she has had a direct relationship and is known of Bill Clinton for, I guess, over 40 years. So it's quite a history. This is probably the most insight that you will ever hear about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton from somebody who's been around Bill Clinton for such a length of time. Dolly Kyle practiced real estate law, was active with local, state, and national housing groups, founding member of the Dallas Affordable Housing Partnership and Dallas City Homes, and is a fellow of the Texas Bar Foundation, as a country and western and contemporary Christian songwriter. Dolly's also a proud member of ASCAP and the CMA. Dolly Kyle, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing great, and it's great to talk to you.
Well, good to be talking to you to, get down to the truth. I mean, what this show is all about is pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. And some of the information you're going to be sharing with our audience is going to be disturbing, although it is going to be consistent with the character of one Bill Clinton and also Hillary that you have from direct experience.
That's right, and I don't know what your audience knows about me. I've tried to stay out of the limelight. I didn't want to do this. I didn't even want to write this book. But I have to tell you that it was after Christmas. I was watching a recorded show, and I was skimming through the commercials, and I saw Hillary, and I backed up to see what she was saying. And that's when she said women who have been raped or sexually assaulted should be believed. And it went all over me because, you know, she has attacked the women who Billy has attacked for all these decades. And I wanted to throw a shoe at the television screen, but instead I did something more productive, and the next day I started writing this book. So I just started this at the beginning of the year. A publisher called me. It has all fallen into place. So I think that's just the way it was supposed to be. But I do have the longest history of any living person who wants to say anything bad about the Clintons, I think.
What I wanted to say was what I've read about you, obviously I don't know you directly, but what I read about you and sense from you is that this is difficult. This is not, you're not, you know, out here slinging mud as much as you are saying, hey, look, you got to make sure people understand what they're dealing with. And when you constantly hear the conflicting testimonies, it's got to be like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction. It just, you know, just makes your nerves scream.
Well, it really does, and I'll say this, and I said this in my book, Hillary the Other Woman, I am not goody two-shoes, I never claimed to be goody two-shoes, but I have always taken the legal profession very, very seriously. I mean, I moved to Dallas as a single mom with three kids under the age of 8 to go to law school at SMU. I took that very, very seriously. I passed the bar exam in Texas before I graduated, and I took a job, and I was so excited about it, and 3 weeks into my first legal job, I quit over an ethics issue. So I kind of hope that tells your audience, no, I'm not goody two-shoes. I'm not a perfect person. I certainly made some serious mistakes in relationships. But when it comes to being a lawyer, And the Clintons, both Billy and Hillary, are a disgrace to the legal profession. And that goes all over me. Plus, having known Billy since he was a little kid, I was extremely disappointed in him overall to see how badly he turned out. People say, oh, he was president. Well, so what? I mean, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? And I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about the soul being the mind, will, and emotions. And this man has sold out. Hillary has sold out. And it's just pitiful. It's a disgrace. And people can't believe it because it's so bad. It's so broad. It's so deep. The scandals are so pervasive. People think, well, how could that be? How could it possibly be? But in my book, Chapter 47 is one of my favorites, called Media Magic, or How to Make a Story Disappear. And I explain my own personal experience with this. And we're seeing this right now. Juanita Broderick, for example. I presume that your audience knows who Juanita is.
Oh, very. Yes, she is. She's been on with us.
She was raped by Billy Clinton in 1978 when he was Attorney General. And Andrea Mitchell, who did a story on her way back, contacted Juanita in January and then said, there's nothing new here. And then said on the Today Show, I think it was in May, that Juanita's story had been discredited. Okay, so the little tempest in the teapot right now is that Juanita's son and lawyer contacted NBC asking for a retraction, and they took the word discredited out of their little online story that followed up the Today Show. And Juanita was, I don't know that she was okay with that, but I'm staying in New Hampshire right now with Catherine Prudhomme O'Brien, who has been very vocal about Hillary and speaking up for her, and you may have seen some of her things nationally. And Catherine and I were insist, it's like, no, if NBC says this on the morning show, they need to retract it on the morning show.
Exactly.
And so that's my next big campaign. It's like, all right, NBC, step up to the plate here and get over this lying.
Well, and there's no doubt the media has carried the water for progressives, for the liberal left and the elites for a long time. And I believe this is one of the reasons why they're losing circulation and audience, because they have violated their own principle for being. And their mandate for being is to document history. And what they've done is they've rewritten the history, especially when it comes to the Clintons. Now,
exactly
I interrupted
right.
you.
And let me ask you this. Do your audience, do your listeners know that I filed a RICO, the Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organizations, federal lawsuit against Billy Clinton when he was a sitting president? Did anybody know that? And there was the issue of should he have to answer while he's in the Oval Office? And the district court said, yes, Clinton, you have to answer. And he took it to the appeals court, and it went to the United States Supreme Court, and they ruled in my favor to the United States Supreme Court. And NBC did not see that as news.
Yes. Well, it's not a big surprise, but let's go back, and I interrupted you when you first started telling your story. When you first met Bill Clinton, you refer to him as Billy, because you've known each other since you were kids growing up. You met him on a golf course.
Right, which kind of takes a little bit away from his story that he was such a poor boy in Arkansas, because most poor boys were working summer jobs, not playing golf at the Belvedere Country Club. But I was 11, Billy was 12, going on 13. It was the thunderbolt, as the Italians would say. We had an instant and long-lasting attraction. We became friends. We dated in high school. And there are no salacious details in my book, by the way, but I do set forth the progression of my relationship with Billy. And 15 years after we met in 1959, 15 years later, certainly as adults, we began what I would say is our adult relationship. So I knew Billy all that time, and in 1974, he introduced me to Hillary. I don't want to ruin the story. I know we don't have a lot of time.
Well, that's okay.
Today,
I'll tell you what. Let's pick it up from there on the other side of the break when we come back. Our conversation with Dolly Kyle continues. Hillary, the Other Woman, a political memoir. Right after this.
With a recession ending,
if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin, barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, good to have you along with us. Our conversation with Dolly Kyle in her latest book, Hillary, The Other Woman, a Political Memoir. I say your latest book, Dolly, because a lot of people may not realize that you've been writing novels for a long time. This is not your first venture in writing.
That's right. It ain't my first rodeo. But, I started writing a therapeutic journal back in 1986. And I turned that into my first novel, and it was loosely autobiographical based on my life, and it, you know, as most first novels are, loosely autobiographical. It just so happens that Billy Clinton was a big part of my life, and right. So that novel turned into a trilogy, and it is available on my website, but I didn't put the Hillary book on the website because I want to make it very clear. The website, the DollyKyle.com novels, are novels. Those do not purport to be true stories, okay? They're just loosely autobiographical. But Hillary the Other Woman, which is on Amazon and WND Books and Barnes & Noble and all that, that is a true story, and I'm sick and tired of people sending me emails saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, people, there is not a lie in my book. I challenge anyone to find one. And the Clintons, Billy Clinton lied about me under an oath like we never had a relationship. And I have handwritten letters from him over mm-hmm. decades. And some of those are attached to my deposition in the Paula Jones case, which is available online. So please, people, if you want to know, just look it up. It's all out there.
Right. Well, the thing we started to mention before the break was in 1974. That's when you first met Hillary. Tell us about that encounter.
Okay. I was single. I actually had been married, had three children. I was divorced. Billy was not married. Hillary, obviously, was not married. And 1974, Billy was back in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, in the northwest part of the state, University of Arkansas, teaching law and running for Congress and dating me and Hillary in Washington and Marla Kreider at the University of Arkansas and who knows how many other women.
Mm-hmm.
So in May of that year, the night of the Democratic primary, Billy called me and asked me if I would pick him up at the airport in Little Rock because that was the only place you could get statewide television coverage, and he was coming down there for an interview, and then he was going to go over to Bill Fulbright's headquarters to have pictures taken with him. Bill Fulbright had been in the Senate for 30 years, not only an illustrious Arkansan, but Billy's mentor, and more than that, his real father figure, the only decent guy Billy Clinton ever had a real paternal relationship with. So that night, I went to pick up Billy at the airport, and he had this middle-aged, bedraggled woman with him, and when she got up closer, I realized she wasn't middle-aged, and Billy had told me he'd been living with a law student named Hillary, but, I mean, you know, whatever.
It took you a minute to connect some dots, huh?
Hillary yeah. Dolly, and, yeah. and I looked, I thought, uh-uh, no way, this is the woman he's been living with, this is some kind of a joke. So I just got my little poker face on, and, you know, I stuck my hand out, tried to shake hands with her, she glared at me, wouldn't shake hands, and I noticed not only did she look horrible, but she stunk. I mean, smelled really bad.
Actually smelled.
Really bad. And so I really thought this was some kind of a joke, and Billy and I were going to laugh about it later. But I guess the joke was on him because he ended up taking her home. But anyway, he turned his back on Fulbright that night. And I talk about this in the book and at some length because this was an extremely important thing to me because this is the first time that I saw Billy's ability to turn his back on people, and loyalty among friends is a real high value in Arkansas. And I know that Hillary was influencing him that night because she was looking at the election returns at the station, and Fulbright was losing.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy decided after the TV interview that he wanted to go back to the airport instead of going by Fulbright headquarters. And I said, why? What's the deal? And he says, well, didn't you see the election returns? I said, sure. He says, well, Fulbright's losing. I know he's losing. All the more reason to go and support him. He said, I don't want to be seen with a loser.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said that, and, you know, that in the company of this woman, I mean, really, and please, don't anyone think that I am jealous or a scorned woman or any of that, because I'm not. It was astounding to me that anyone could live with this person. I mean, I was afraid she was going to ruin my car seats. You know, like the valet parking on the Jerry Seinfeld
incident? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I've got 12 seats. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
But anyway, it was bad. So I met Hillary. She met me, and I did eventually figure it out that really was Hillary. And she knew about me from the beginning, which is why she was angry. She also found out about Marla Kreider and went in and snooped through Billy's letters and things and found the notes and cards and cutesy deals from Marla and shredded those. And that was the beginning of what I call the Hillary Scissorhands movement. And she's been shredding documents ever since until she progressed to, you know, wiping her server clean with a cloth. But this is the pattern of this woman, and she will erase history. She will do everything she can do to continue on the coattails of Billy Clinton. That's why she has had to attack all these women, Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers, me, and 2,000 others that no one has heard about because they are terrified to open their mouth. So this has been Hillary's pattern for the last 40-something years, and if anyone thinks that's going to change, someone asked me what would happen in a Hillary Clinton presidency, and I said, well, the first thing is I get audited by the IRS, and so does everyone else who's raised a voice against them, and then who knows where it goes from there. They plant false stories about me, everything. It's just...
Exactly. Well, Dolly, she's been very vocal about, you know, on one hand, how women should be protected and, you know, she wants to be the champion of women. But yet, you know, she has an established model and format that she's followed with every woman that has said, look, I've been raped here by President Clinton or Governor Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, and she follows through, like you say, whether it's her scissor hands or the destruction of characters and that sort of thing. I mean, she's been consistent that way.
She certainly has. And the other thing I keep asking is, what exactly affirmatively has she done for women? If anyone thinks she's broken through a glass ceiling, think again. Women have been dragging on men's coattails, well, since they were togas or whatever. This is nothing new. The fact that she is the presidential nominee, that would have never happened if it hadn't been for Billy Clinton. I mean, he didn't want to run for governor again in 1990, and they did poll to see if Hillary could just follow him in as governor. Well, Arkansas people wouldn't have elected her anything. And,
right.
You know, so she would be nothing without him. Oh, and I also have to say that she had her role to his advantage because she was the financial stability for that family. Billy doesn't really like to work. And she was to make the money, which is what motivated her in what has become Cattlegate and all these other scandals, Whitewater and all that, where she was trying to get money by hook or by crook, and mostly by crook.
Well, certainly the Clinton Foundation has exposed a lot, and it's, you know, really, you know, kind of reveals her industry to a whole new level, and she has really, you know, put it on steroids. Now, Hillary Clinton says repeatedly Donald Trump does not have the temperament. You've been around and have experienced some of these situations. You know, Bill Clinton has shared things with you. You know, what about her temperament?
Well, her temperament is some of the worst. I mean, you wouldn't want her to be a Girl Scout leader. But worse than that now, and I'll say this, everything everyone has read and heard by the Arkansas State Troopers, by the Secret Service, by anyone who has dared say anything about her foul mouth, her short temper, that is all true, okay? Let's just put that aside. That is all true, and she's a pathological liar. And here's what's the worst of it now. And I debated whether I should put this in the book or not, but I did. Chapter 50 of Hillary the Other Woman. I talk about her increasing cognitive impairment. And someone asked me after a show, well, what is cognitive impairment? It's losing it mentally. And I list the symptoms of cognitive impairment as set out by the Centers for Disease Control. And I list the things that people have seen if they've paid attention about Hillary in her.
Well, Dolly, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but we're going to have to direct people to the book, to Chapter 50. They can read it for themselves. You will not put this book down, let me tell you. Dolly Kyle has been our guest. You can go to DollyKyle.com for more information. That is her website. It's Hillary the Other Woman, a political memoir. Dolly, thank you so much for being with us.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Americans are banking on the go more than ever, as nearly two-thirds cite mobile or online as their preferred method of banking, a significant increase from last year. The third annual Bank of America Trends in Consumer Mobility report found mobile and online banking, as well as digital payments, continue to grow in popularity among U.S. consumers. More than half surveyed cite they actively use a mobile banking app, and 57% would consider or already use a peer-to-peer money transfer service from their bank. 2 in 5 would use or already use their smartphone to make purchases at checkout. Michelle Moore, Head of Digital Banking, Bank of America.
This year's report demonstrates the growing reliance on our mobile devices to navigate daily life and manage finances. It's important for us to be where our customers are, which is why we continue to deliver new features that provide increased convenience to our more than 20 million active mobile banking users.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates around this great country of ours, or even around the world via shortwave, here we are, Bill Martinez live coming at you. Hey, we got a real treat for you right now. I happen to hear about our next guest from a dear friend and publicist. Says, Bill, you've got to hear this song. And I heard this song and I go, it was titled America United. Now, this is unbelievable. And anyway, Didi, and I hope I'm not butchering your name, Wiedekind?
Wiedekind, all along ago.
Wiedekind. Well, kind, definitely. Weedy. I mean, yeah, well, that's excellent. Well, Didi, and I should know more about Didi, frankly, because, you know, with my music background and everything, and let me fill you in a little bit on just how incredible she is and how well life has been going for Didi. She's one of those typical overnight successes that somebody once said, you know, how did you become an overnight success? And they say, in 20 minutes in a lifetime, because it's been a lifetime endeavor, no doubt. Didi was recently awarded the 2016 Best New Female Artist of the Year at the Indie Music Channel Awards held at the Clive Davis Theater at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles back in April. Being such a diverse award-winning singer-songwriter from Texas, Didi has accomplished so much in such a short amount of time. Over the past 3 years of her little over four-year career, Didi's been a repeat finalist in many international songwriting competitions, including the International Songwriting Contest, the USA Songwriting Contest, the UK Songwriting Contest, 2014 Annual Dallas Songwriting Contest, and SongOfTheYear.com's 2015 Songwriting Contest in July. Tell you, she knows what she's doing, and she does a great job at her craft. And Didi, thank you for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks, Bill, it's great to be here. I'm so excited. I'm glad we got in touch with each other, even though it was kind of late.
Well, yeah, I know. I was running around. I was telling, ladies and gentlemen, I was telling her earlier, I said, I hope you didn't think I was stalking you, because I was trying to, I just so wanted her on this morning and, you know, to talk about her song. And let's talk about it, because it is a rather patriotic tune. I think it has potential iconic implications here, Dee Dee. And
thank you.
You know, have you, I guess, an acknowledged patriot? I mean, you know, passionate about our country all your life, or is this something that has just bubbled up most recently because of this contentious environment in which we live in these days?
Well, I've always been a patriot. I mean, I was raised here in Texas and born in New Jersey, and so I'm an American all the way. Conservative house, very conservative religious family. My dad was, you know, always had us in church. So I learned to sing and play instruments from a young age. And, you know, I've always loved the country. It's just, to me, this is the best place on earth. And people are literally dying still to come to America. You know, they're coming from all over the world. So obviously we're doing something here that is amazing, that's different. And I just was sitting in church listening to a patriotic sermon about 4 years ago. This was originally written in 2012. Wow. There's an older version that you could still maybe hear, but the new version is shorter. It's a little more to the point. It's got updated lyrics. And something just said, you know, listening to the sermon, it was like about unity, how our country's divided, we need to unify. And I was like, you know, something hit me. You need to write a song about this.
Yeah.
And I like to think it was God, obviously. And so I'm writing furiously while I'm in the choir loft and people are looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to, like,
not paying attention to the sermon. They're probably thinking maybe you're taking sermon notes or something.
Exactly. That's what I was like. I'm taking sermon notes. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But then I got home and we wrote the song. Me and my husband, I was like, this is what I wrote. He's like, man, I love it. So, you know, he's extremely patriotic. We have been to the Republican convention in Tampa. We were really big supporters of Romney. We're big supporters this year. We know riots, you know, and
yes.
And we really have been struggling, like, to see where my music could fit. And so this song was originally written for Romney in 2012, because we noticed the country was so divided. There was so much arguing, so much finger pointing. You know, it's this group's fault. It's the rich people. It's the poor people. It's the people who own businesses. It's the companies. It's the people who don't have jobs. It's the immigrants. You know, everybody's pointing fingers and nobody's really making a solution. And we're not united as a country like we used to be. I mean, we used to have so much pride when I was growing up. You know, it was like the 4th of July parade. We decorated our bikes. You know, we were out there. And now it's like, oh, you know, America, I think we take it for granted, especially our younger generation and people who might not have been here don't understand that, you know, the American dream is just so amazing. And if we all unite, this country could be so powerful and so amazing, even more amazing than it is now. Mm-hmm. And so this is what that song was written for. And so we brushed up the lyrics. My husband's like, in about May or June of this year, he's like, I think we need to redo America United. I said, really?
Yes.
Because it was like, you know, it's hard to redo a song. It's a lot of money. It's a time. I had to rewrite it. And I said, okay, I'll do my best. And I was working with a guy in Nashville. And I rewrote the song in like less than a week. I added some new lyrics. And, of course, the new lyrics are Unite Us, Don't Divide Us. The verses are pretty much the same, but the chorus really changed. The melody didn't change, but we added, let's make America great again. You know, united we all stand, together, hand in hand. Let's make America great again. Keep America safe and strong. You know, these are things that we're really worried about in 2016.
Right, exactly.
I think every American's worried about being safe. We're worried about jobs going overseas. You know, I'm glad that you realize that this is a song that is really passionate, because it really comes from a place of this was personal.
And no,
I wanted
absolutely.
To take it
you can,
and help
you can
make
tell.
A change. I wanted to be
well, I
want to,
I
change.
Want to play, Dee Dee, I want to play it for everybody as we go out of the segment. Remind everybody how they can be in touch with you and connect with you and all the great things you're doing.
Thanks. Okay, well, the song's on Amazon.com and iTunes. I think it's like 99 cents. And it's also on my website. It's www.dede, it's D-E-D-E, and then Weedekind is W-E-D-E-K-I-N-D, which means pure child in German. So it's Weedekind in German, but Dede Weedekind or dede-music.com.
I love that. interpretation. I love the significance of Wedekind. How can we forget? A pure child has written this purely from her heart. Scott, let's play the song America United from Dee Dee Wedekind.
Divide us, 'cause united we all stand. We're different, yet all the same, in this great blessed land. Unite us, don't divide us, give us thankful hearts again, and bring us all together now, and choose to take your stand.
Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Walgreens TrueMetric and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street or a trip to the movies or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
For P150, P150 GA, P150 NY, P150 OK, P150 TN, C250 A, C250 E, C250 Q. Not available in all states. If New York, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-798-4326. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-798-4326. That's 1-800-798-4326. 1-800-798-4326.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, coming to you from Alohaville. Yes, it's our annual, staycation, we might say, in Kauai, Hawaii. We're here to celebrate the birth of my ninth grandchild. Is my daughter's first son that we're real excited about. Jackson William. Will.i.am, I say. Jackson Will.i.am. So we'll probably be hearing down the road from him. The kids were saying, because he is going to be a Maui kid. I mean, that's where they live. They live in Maui. So they're going to say, yes, now coming on the big wave from Maui, Hawaii, Jackson William Phelps. That's what we're going to be hearing. That's what they that's what they said. So get ready, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it first right here. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Dr. Alan Axelrod is with us. And we're going to be talking about domestic terrorism. And I know when you first hear about domestic terrorism, you think, well, ISIS, they're continuing to slowly creep into our environment and become more and more of an issue domestically. But the other domestic terrorism that we're not quite getting a hold of is what is happening within our government. And that's what Dr. Alan Axelrod is going to address with us right now. Dr. Axelrod, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Great. Great to be with you.
Well, good to have you here to point out something that is absolutely integral and significant to this election 2016 that we're facing. It's so easy to get caught up in some of the emotional issues that we really need to, consider what are the most important issues that we need to talk about. I was mentioning earlier in the show, one of my favorite sayings has been, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And all these distractions can lead us down a wrong path if we're not focused on the right things. Our founding fathers knew that, and this is why the Declaration of Independence, in which they stated their grievances, not only for the king and for the world to understand, but for themselves to understand what it was that they were not happy with. And then, of course, out of it grew our U.S. Constitution, which was the solution and the answer to the grievances that we were faced with, right?
Absolutely.
So in your view, the domestic terrorism that we're not talking about and overlooking is what is being done by the people that are supposed to serve us.
Well, it's being done by us, too, because we don't pay attention to it. We tolerate it. And we don't see, no matter how often the, you know, we're told that right now we have a $19.4 trillion national debt. It will go up to about $20.1 trillion in 2017, as currently budgeted. I mean, it won't come as a surprise. That's what the budget calls for. And we have been tolerating living on borrowed funds for a good 40, 50 years now. And what we refuse to, as people, refuse to acknowledge is that this is a far bigger threat, and I mean far bigger threat than the current international terrorism. As terrible as that is, that those terrorists, while they may kill thousands in this country from time to time, do not represent an existential threat to the continued existence of this country, which, in fact, the national debt does. It represents an existential threat to this country, the same kind of threat of the same magnitude as, say, World War II did, a war that really did threaten the existence of this country. If we continue in a position where we are at the mercy of foreign debt holders, we gradually, or not even gradually, we give up more and more of our sovereignty, our ability to, as a people, determine our own destiny. And to the degree that exactly. We are content with doing that, we endanger the continued existence of the nation.
But I wonder, you know, to your point, and I agree exactly with your point, that this is a government up for and by we the people. We've created this. We've allowed this to happen under our very noses. And I understand all the excuses. I mean, and I don't mean to say excuses and just set them aside. I mean, they've been real choices that we've had to make. We've had a tough, particularly the last 8 years. It's been a mad scramble. People are scrambling to put food on their table. And they say, Bill, you know, I don't have time to keep my eyes on the government. Well, it's like one of those things that it's not an elective. You have to do this. If you do not do this, you lose control of the very government that is supposed to serve you, and to the point where you got 7 out of 10 people agreeing that we're on the wrong track. Well, you know, we've allowed this to happen, to your point. But what I would like for you to do, Dr. Axelrod, is, you know, we talk about this $19 trillion, soon to be $20 trillion in debt that you say is approximately 75% of the GDP. Now,
it's actually according to that's a figure that is often used, but actually according to the Federal Reserve, to their own researchers, it's 105.08% of the gross domestic product. The debt is 105% of the gross domestic product. That is the ratio. Mm-hmm.
And that is only, again, you know, in typical government math, I don't know, this Common Core math that they use already is just driving me nuts, because it's almost like every number they give us has to come with an asterisk, whether you're talking about unemployment numbers or you're talking about the debt, because I've heard the number of our real indebtedness is upwards of $200 trillion. But we only talk about $19 trillion, right? $220
trillion? Yeah, this is the work of a Boston University economist named Lawrence Kotlikoff, who has testified before Congress, a very distinguished economist, who suggests that if we accounted for the national debt by looking at not only its present value, but its future value, which, after all, the national debt is something we are giving our children and our grandchildren. They are being saddled with it, not us. They are. If we accounted for it using what he calls generational accounting, the more realistic number is about $210 trillion.
Okay, so how do we translate that to Main Street America, so they understand how real this problem is? I mean, they've been hearing about this for I'd say about the last at least five, if not the last 10 years,
right,
that this continuing ignorance and of the indebtedness of this nation, how it's compromising us. But how do we bring it home to them? Because what they're seeing at their coffee tables is what's hitting them in the household, how they've had to cut back every year by 10%. You know, this is, and working three jobs where one used to satisfy the household obligations. Now it's three jobs. It's not a full-time job. It's part-time jobs without health, without health care, which the president said, hey, don't worry, man. You're going to have the best health care. We're going to, and so we're dealing with the reality of that. But how do we, beyond what we're dealing with at the coffee tables across America, how do we bring this discussion to the coffee tables of America and say, look, this is real. And yes, you can talk about you in your lifetime not particularly dealing with it, but this is what we're handing off to our children and our grandchildren.
Correct. Well, I think one way is to, talking about trillions of dollars, a trillion is a very difficult number to conceive of. Maybe more, it's more easily conceived if we understand that that national debt belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to each of us, and each of us, each citizen, whether you're 80 years old or newborn, you come into the world as a newborn, saddled right now with $60,000 in debt. If you break that down per actual taxpayer, it's $162,312 in debt. Now, nobody comes to your door asking for that sum of money, but it is one of the reasons that products cost what they cost today, that services cost what they cost today, that we are all, unless we're very lucky, scrambling just to make a living, just to make ends meet. It's not because industries have failed. It's not because entrepreneurs have failed. It's because we are living in a nation that has monopolized so much of the available credit that credit is unrealistically expensive with respect to the interest rates and savings and so on. So what we get is a kind of a market gridlock. It makes it very difficult to get ahead, mm-hmm. to make ends meet, let alone get ahead. So if you think of it that way, this national debt puts a kind of ball and chain on each of us to the tune of $60,000 per person or $162,000 per taxpayer.
Exactly, and that's active taxpayer. 162, and we're losing more and more active taxpayers because of the current economy. We have this underground economy that's going in where people are just looking to survive, so they're not paying taxes. They may when they purchase items, I understand that, but in the bigger picture, they're contributing to that 162,312 personal indebtedness continuing to increase here. Dr. Alan Axelrod has been with us, New York Times bestselling author, historian, written a new book, Full Faith and Credit, The National Debt, Taxes, Spending, and the Bankrupting of America.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLife. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLife. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.